sat around in his chair and did his best to look behind and below the plane.
"Very good," said the colonel. "We're glad to see you. We're running on fumes just about."
"We'll take care of that. You need anything else, colonel? Windshield wiped, oil change, tires rotated?"
Karen laughed. "Just fill our tanks, thanks." She turned to Kaufman.
"Feel better, Obi?"
He gave her a half-hearted grin. "You should have been a test pilot. More guts than brains."
Colonel Christopher nodded. "More guts than you got, Butterball," she retorted silently. Then she puffed out a heartfelt sigh of relief.
The Pentagon, Situation Room. "They're definitely getting ready to launch," said General Scheib, his eyes fixed on the wall screen that showed the latest satellite imagery from North Korea. Zuri Coggins was speaking hurriedly, urgently, into the hair-thin headset she had attached to her mini-computer. "Talking to the White House," Michael Jamil guessed. General Higgins was on his feet, his shirt rumpled, his face pasty white. Jamil wondered if the fat-headed general would send an alert to San Francisco now. The president arrives there and the North Koreans start their missile countdown. That can't be a coincidence. It can't be. Then he asked himself, how did they know that the president landed? With all the commercial commsats out, there's no worldwide news coverage. And we certainly aren't sending data from our milsats to the DPRK.
They must have one or more satellites of their own watching San Francisco, Jamil concluded. Then he shook his head. The North Koreans don't have any satellites in space. The bomb they launched was the first time they've gotten a bird into orbit successfully.
I need access, he realized. Seeing that the Coggins woman had taken off her headset and was watching the satellite imagery along with everybody else, he got out of his chair and went up the table to her.
May I use your mini for a few minutes? He asked.
Coggins cast a suspicious look at him, annoyed at being interrupted from her concentration on the wall screen's imagery. The scene looked semi-weird, distorted. The surveillance satellite must be getting close to the local horizon, Jamil figured. It'll be out of the area in a few minutes.
My computer? Coggins asked.
Only for a few minutes, please.
She hesitated a heartbeat, then gestured to the mini.
Go ahead. It's connected to the Defense Department's information web.
Fine, thanks.
Jamil slid into the chair next to Coggins's and pulled the book-sized computer in front of him. Coggins got up and stretched.
Tense as a tightrope, she said to herself.
Why not?
You've got a lot to be tense about. She walked over to the coffee cart. All three urns were empty again.
We're drinking too much of it anyway, she thought, even though she wished she had a cup to hold in her hands.
Coffee's gone again. Turning, she saw it was General Higgins glowering at the cart. He waved to his aide and pointed ostentatiously to the stainless steel urns.
I've got to tell him everything, Higgins complained.
Coggins half whispered,
Do you think they're really targeting the president?
The general shook his head stubbornly.
Scheib says those missiles don't have the range or accuracy to hit San Francisco. He's our local expert.
Then it's Honolulu.
Or Fairbanks, or Manila, or Shanghai.
Higgins looked back at the screen, muttering, Our next recon bird won't be over the area for another 10 minutes. She stepped across the room to where General Scheib stood staring at the wall screen while he gnawed his lip.
How soon before they launch? Coggins asked.
Scheib cocked his head to one side, thinking. Then he replied, No more than an hour. 90 minutes on the outside.
Can they...